It's the time and place for that. Good afternoon, Matt St. John, Executive Officer. Before I highlight a couple of the articles in the written report, I wanted to take a moment to recognize a couple of our staff. One of the pleasures that I have is to recognize staff for the good work that each and every staff does for the regional board. And as you know, we have various awards that we give. There's the Sustained Superior Accomplishment Award that we give to an individual or team once a year, as well as the Superior Accomplishment Awards. And another opportunity is what I call the Executive Officer's Certificate of Appreciation. So a couple weeks ago at a general staff meeting, I presented EO Certificate of Appreciation to Ms. Colleen Hunt, and I wanted to just call her out and let you all know that she received this award. And it's to recognize her leadership and outstanding work in developing and now implementing the Phase 1 MS4 stormwater permit for the region. Colleen has, in addition to developing and implementing that permit, has represented us at several statewide conferences and trainings on stormwater in the state of California, and really has just represents us incredibly well. And so it was in honor of that that I awarded her this award. So thank you, Colleen. Also, in the last couple of months, we've had the pleasure of welcoming a handful of new staff to the North Coast region. So I wanted to give the opportunity to introduce each of them to you. We have three new staff in our Northern Nonpoint Source and Forestry Unit. Two are brand new positions that came to our region this fiscal year as funding through the AB 1492 Timber Fund. And so those two new staff under that funding source are Carly Dunleavy and Graham Brown. Carly is not new to our office. Carly was a scientific aide working in our groundwater unit for a little over a year, so we're pleased to be able to hire her full-time. And Graham is a recent graduate of Sac State. So, in addition, you may recall that Tom Williams retired from our office a number of months ago, and we were able to hire Ben Minks recently to fill the vacancy from Tom's retirement. So Carly, Graham, and Ben are all engineering geologists working in our timber program. So it's great to have them. In addition, several months ago, we recruited Imtiaz Ali. Imtiaz comes to us from the Santa Ana Regional Board. He's an engineer, and he's working in our NPDES unit. So he comes with quite a lot of programmatic experience, and we're really lucky to have him here working on wastewater in our wastewater program. And last but not least, we finally have been able to welcome officially Mr. Chuck Striplin to our adaptive management unit. Chuck is not a new face to you. He's presented on various programs. He's coming to us from San Francisco Estuary Institute, the Aquatic Science Center, and we're really lucky to have Chuck now with us as a full-time staff person. So thank you all. Welcome to the family, and it's great to have you. wanted to highlight a couple of things from the written report. At board members' request, at the end of the report, we include a table that summarizes the enrollment numbers that we have as of the end of May, enrollment in the cannabis waiver program. So we're off to a steady start. We have just about over 500 enrollments at this point. So I think that that's steady but sure. I believe that by this time next year, those numbers will be significantly different.
Matt, I noticed that the numbers for Sonoma County are very, very low. What happened to our friends Asa and Larry?
Well, we're continuing to reach out and try to encourage more folks to enroll. As you'll recall from the April meeting, Yvonne West from the Office of Enforcement described the enforcement and the enrollment enforcement strategy that we have. And this week, we'll be sending out over 500 letters to folks in one part of our region, a targeted area, notifying them of their need to enroll. So we're going to be following that kind of targeted enrollment enforcement approach based on sensitive watersheds throughout the region. And I think that we're going to get, I anticipate we're going to get quite a bit of response through that process.
How many third parties are certified?
I think at this point we have, did Josh just walk out?
Yeah.
I think it's at this point three third parties that have been certified,
okay.
And we're actively reviewing a handful, six other applications.
Okay.
So we continue.
Just a question for
you. Yeah.
So in talking to some of the growers in our area, they wanted me to bring back that they, and I don't know how true this, they'd be more likely to enroll if Fish and Wildlife wasn't showing up with a water quality board. So I don't know if that's a perception, if it is coincidence, but I guess in the Trinity Pines, the board has gone out and Fish and Wildlife has been in the property right next door to them. So I don't know what that was. That was just what I'm bringing back from the growers that I've talked to. So there's this big, huge fear of sticking their neck out and having the law enforcement come down on them, because now once they enroll, they're known.
Yeah, let me follow up with that, Matt.
Sure.
I think my comments that I said when we were up in, I guess, Lolita, just like we heard the presentation of the Scotts Valley, you know, farmers talk to farmers, ranchers talk to ranchers. This community isn't any different. And I'm getting feedback that, again, as I said up in Lolita, people that come forward don't think of themselves as criminals. But if they're treated like criminals and the tone or the harshness of who they're engaging with is not a pleasant experience, they're going to talk to their neighbors over the fence. So that it's really important. You know, I kind of whispered to Kelly here. I said, well, 407, only 40,000 more to go. You know, again, if we want to sell this thing, we got to sell it. We can't hammer people with it. So
yeah.
It's just something you need to pass down to your staff that.
Absolutely.
You know, they've got to have a tone, and they've got to be willing to pull people into the program and not, you know, push them or bang them over the head if they find something.
And I haven't heard a tone problem from the people that I've talked to on the street. It's that with the board comes this other agency. Either they're following us or they get wind of what we're doing or who knows what it is. But they seem to think that the two agencies are locked in communication and showing up together for some reason.
Well, there's some truth to that, though we're not showing up every time with Fish and Wildlife. The pilot strategy that we have, that's a strategy that's signed by the state board director. So this is not just for our region. It's for kind of the whole of Northern California. So it includes the Central Valley Regional Board. But that strategy is signed by State Board Executive Director and Fish and Wildlife's Director, Chuck Bonham. So it is a joint agency strategy. So they are a partner. Okay. And we are doing some inspections jointly. The regional board, if we're the lead in identifying a property, we always we're incredibly transparent, and we say who the agency, you know, who will be represented when we come. And sometimes that's fish and wildlife wardens, law officers, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's their scientists. So, you know, you heard it a lot today in several of our presentations about partnerships. And partnership is really important in our cannabis program, too. And it's a double-edged sword. I totally acknowledge that when one of those partners is law enforcement. But it's a reality of this program that there is an enforcement component of the program, and that has to have law enforcement.
So then when we do our presentation, because I sat through one of the Water Quality Board's presentation on the permitting, then we need to make that clear that there is this partnership going, because if it's true, and I have no problem with it, I think that's a great idea, and yeah. It's a great thing to have. I think the growers were thinking that the Water Quality Board just comes out, a couple people, and it's really quiet. But we just need to make that clear to them, that
good.
So they're not surprised.
I'll reinforce that
okay.
with our staff.
Okay.
And Matt, maybe building on what Greg was saying and coming at it from a slightly different angle, rather than you needing to be sure that the message is being delivered professionally, what's your mechanism for checking on that right now to make sure that your staff are being nice in the field, for lack of a better way of articulating that?
Well, I mean, I guess I rely very heavily on our relatively new division chief who's overseeing the program, Josh Curtis, mm-hmm. and Diana Henriol, the senior for the Enforcement and Compliance Assurance Unit. And then it's by having a relationship with our third parties, me personally, mm-hmm. As well as with our agency partners, so that if there are concerns, that they know they can pick up the phone and call me.
Great.
Another thing, when we look at these metrics and how successful we are, there's a huge group of the growers that we're never, ever going to get enrolled mm-hmm. because they're black market. They're going to stay black market. So instead of us looking at this huge number of grows and say we only have 400 of them, it'd be I don't know how you do that, tease out how many of them will never, ever comply because they're in a whole different market versus the ones that might. Because when we take the whole industry as a whole and we show only 400, you know, it's not going to show us very successful.
Right.
So then I don't know if there's any
a way to quantify that.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
we're going to look real bad because our success won't be very big.
Initially, I mean, we're 9 months into a program.
No, I don't mean now, but I mean even 4 years down the road, there's still a huge group of growers that are never going to comply with any licensing at all.
Yeah.
And in our discussions, we just talk about growers. We never said that this program applies to indoor grow houses, does it?
It doesn't not apply to indoor grow houses.
Okay, but we've never included it in the context of our discussions, really.
Our primary focus, because where we see most of the water quality impacts, are outdoor grows.
Well, we don't know what the water quality impacts are of indoor grows because we don't know where the hydroponic water is going.
That's,
it could be going down to storm drains, or
that's exactly the key. You're absolutely right. Is what's being used with that wastewater?
Right, and where is it going? I mean, it could be huge.
Yeah.
From especially in a county like Sonoma, where there's high density housing and possibly several hydroponic operations disposing to storm drains, or they have to get rid of the water somehow,
right.
And that water is contaminated.
One of the Well, one of the other points that I wanted to make is that Steve Moore has reported in past months that the governor's budget includes 13 new funded positions for the cannabis program statewide, and you know the legislation is to expand the pilot program statewide. We are likely to get not fewer than four of those 13 new positions for our program. The reason that that came to my mind right now is that one of the tasks that Office of Enforcement has identified for how we're going to keep these people busy, these new staff, is looking at indoor grows and the impacts from indoor grows and on impacts to wastewater treatment facilities if indeed they're discharging to a municipal wastewater system, and if they're discharging to septic systems, you know, looking at what are the regulatory options to addressing those impacts. So that is very much something that's on our radar. Unless you have other questions about the cannabis program, I'll just highlight the article that Clayton Krager wrote on the update on the Klamath agreements. So as I'm sure all of you are aware, in early April, the two governors, both Governor Browns of California and Oregon, as well as the Secretary of Interior, signed the two new agreements, the amended Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement and the Klamath Power and Facilities Agreement. The amended KHSA will pursue dam removal through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Yeah, by 2020.
By 2020.
That's amazing.
It's not too far off.
That's amazing.
There will be a new entity is being formed called the Dam Removal Entity. The title of that organization is the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, and they will oversee all of the permitting and then the actual construction related or deconstruction related to the dam removal. Our role, the North Coast Regional Board's role, is really one of providing technical support both to the State Water Board, that is the entity that will be issuing the 401 water quality certification associated with the dam decommissioning activities. And we're also supporting the California Natural Resources Agency, who is really the state agency that's overseeing the implementation of the agreements. One example of how we're providing this technical assistance, we are right now in the thick of compiling and assessing Klamath River water quality data and kind of doing a revisit of the analysis that went into our Klamath River TMDL. So updating all of the water quality monitoring data within the main stem Klamath River. So it'll kind of, and that information will be used to support the 401 water quality certification as well as other efforts looking at the long-term restoration of the Klamath River.
That's got to be a monster, 401.
It's going to be a monster. And so we're going to be in a key support role. It came up earlier in the Mr. Noren, you pointed it out that our queen of KFAT was asked to present to the Northwest Power and Conservation Council looking at modeling, monitoring, and coordination related to incident response to a potential fish kill in the Columbia Basin, and modeling that after the Klamath Fish Health Assessment Team that we initiated along with Department of Fish and Wildlife in the Klamath River. So really proud of that work that Catherine's been doing. And then also it came up earlier today, the linkage between flow and cyanobacteria and blue-green algae, and just to point out that it was mentioned that, that the Sonoma County Water Agency has put out a fish flow EIR for the Russian River. And so there's an article in here that Pam Jean from the Water Agency wrote for us describing that process for the environmental review of the biological opinion that calls for reduced flows to support rearing salmonids in the Russian River watershed. So we're very much tracking that, working really closely with the agency.
Would you expect that we would be a commenting agency on it?
We will absolutely be commenting.
Good.
Yes. So that is a summary of my written report and concludes my oral report, unless you have any other questions.
Any other questions for Mr. St. John? All right. Well, we will adjourn till tomorrow morning at 8:30.
I'm going to throw one more thing in here.
He's going to throw one more thing.
I would like to do that. I seldom say anything about our request for future agenda items or other items of interest. I'm keeping you on task with
here it is. I thought we were moving on to
I thought we were. And, Matt, I don't